Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Good afternoon, it's Nick Atfield here on Vectis Radio, Wednesday afternoon, back with you in middle of the week, so let's look forward to the weekend. And we open the show there with the Jackson Fives and The Love You Save, and a song from Inner City, Big Fun. And it's really exciting this afternoon because I've got company in the studio, which is so nice not to just be sat here talking to myself. And I have a lady with me who I've known for about 8 years now, we've decided, both professionally and as a good friend. And I'm really excited to introduce Jo Rees to you. Hi, Jo.
Hi, Nick. Thanks so much for inviting me in.
You're very welcome. Now, we're going to talk about lots of things this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Starting with your professional life, which is very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And I did trail that a bit last week and tell people you work particularly with dyslexia.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a chat about that. But then also, I want to hear all about your latest escapades, because tell people what you did a few weeks ago.
Oh, I ran London Marathon.
Crazy girl, honestly. And you actually did a pretty good time, didn't you?
Well, I was disappointed with my time, but yeah, but I finished it. That was all that mattered. I finished it.
I thought it was really rather good myself. Yeah. I was tracking you as you went around. So yeah, this afternoon we're going to find out what Jo does for a living and how she supports both young people and adults with dyslexia, both in school and the workplace.
Yeah.
And talk about exactly what dyslexia is and what you might need to know to either help someone else or help yourself. So we've got lots coming up. Nick Atfield here on Wednesday afternoon. As I said, I'm here with Jo Rees, an Islander.
Indeed.
Living over in St Helens. And have you lived here all your life, Jo?
I have lived here all my life, apart from when I went to uni, yeah.
Oh,
I never planned on ending up here, but, you know, it's too good to move away from.
Absolutely. I think you know, anywhere else you go, you always look back and think, well, we're sport on the island, aren't we, really?
Definitely.
Right, so tell us a little bit about what you do, Jo.
Oh, where do I begin? So I currently run a very small company called Another Way Round Dyslexia Support. My background actually is in primary school teaching. I was a primary school teacher for many years and a special educational needs coordinator, amongst all sorts of other things. And about 8 years ago, I decided that I had had enough of working in school and in education. By that point, I'd actually done some additional training in dyslexia. So I set up a little company called Another Way Round Dyslexic Support. And actually what it looks like today is not what it looked like then. It evolves all the time depending on what people need. But the main bulk of what I do is kind of assessment, identifying and diagnosing dyslexia. I deliver training in schools, both online and virtually, do a tiny bit of specialist teaching now, not very much. That's how we first met, wasn't it? Because I taught your girls. Do a tiny bit of specialist teaching now, quite a lot of coaching, quite a lot of parent support, quite a lot of TikToking about dyslexia. My main aim and passion is to raise awareness and understanding of dyslexia, what it is and how it impacts people. And my motivation behind it was because actually I didn't get diagnosed until I was 34. It's all very ironic that I trained to become a primary school teacher and kind of was like a magnet, kind of drawn towards working with those pupils that had additional needs. Didn't really know why until I trained to do my specialist dyslexic teacher and assessor training, thinking I knew loads about dyslexia because I taught for 10 years. Anyway, it turns out actually I didn't know very much about it at all. And by the end of that training, I had sort of self-diagnosed myself. Mm. And it took me a couple of years to actually be brave enough to actually go and have a formal assessment. But actually, my motivation behind getting my own assessment was quite often the perception around dyslexia is if you're dyslexic, there's a bit of a can't do attitude.
Absolutely,
and that it's going to be really difficult. Well, actually, I'd managed to be a teacher. I'd got a degree. I got a couple of postgraduate certificates by then and a diploma. And it was like, actually, if I've achieved what I've achieved not knowing I was dyslexic, imagine what I could help other people achieve if it was identified earlier.
Absolutely.
So that was my kind of motivation behind it.
And as you said, we met because just as you were setting up your school, I had discovered that both my daughters were dyslexic and was thinking, they're not getting on at school, they're not reading the way I hoped they would be. What was I going to do about it? And I can remember buying them, you know, storybooks that I absolutely loved and thinking, why aren't they just picking them up and reading them at their age? I was working my way through, you know, tons and tons of books and just really, you know, not understanding it. And then realising what was going on and thinking, right, we need some help. And I remember you used to come and work with them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was just phenomenal because suddenly they could do, like you say. So the lessons at school that they were struggling with, suddenly with you, I used to listen in and you'd hear them getting really excited. So absolutely amazing. Dyslexia and the attitude towards it has changed quite a bit, hasn't it, in the time you've been...
I would say, and it's still changing. We've still got a really long way to go. But I think there are so many misconceptions about dyslexia and what it is. And for sure, it makes reading and spelling challenging. And obviously, it's like a spectrum of needs. So it's made up of all sorts of things. It's made up of working memory, of a phonological processing deficit, all sorts of things that make reading and spelling tricky. But actually, it's about having the right teaching, and people with dyslexia can learn to read and spell.
Absolutely.
It will never be easy. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean it will be automatic, but I think it's about kind of challenging those perceptions of actually you're dyslexic, but you will have, and I no longer refer to it as a superpower, because it isn't a superpower, because it is actually a disability in a way. It's something that a barrier that is always there that you have to overcome. But I think it's about kind of embracing your strengths and finding those strengths and using what you can do rather than worrying about what you can't do.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. Right, we're going to come back to this subject. And I have a guest with me. I have Jo Rees, and we've just been talking about dyslexia. And Jo supports people both young and old with dyslexia. Now, if you think that your child or even yourself or someone in your life might be dyslexic, what might you be seeing in them?
So here's the thing, it can be quite difficult to pick up because, again, there's a bit of a misconception that dyslexics can't read, and actually dyslexics can read, but it's how they read that potentially can be the kind of the indicator. So sometimes reading can be quite like fluent, like bumpy and sort of mechanical. You might find, if I talk about children to begin with, and we'll talk about adults in a minute, so you might find that they're not developing a sight vocabulary when reading, so they're having to sound every single word they come across out.
Yeah, I definitely recognise that.
One of the main things I always think is what we call like a surprising difference. So this mismatch between how they present verbally and academic attainment. So quite often you find kids that are really interested in the world, have got an amazing memory and vocabulary for things that they've experienced and that they've done, but you ask them to write it down and it just doesn't translate onto paper. So that can be another indicator in a young child. Spelling a bit wonky. Quite often, sort of specifically with dyslexics, you'd be looking for errors, sometimes kind of the right letters but in an incorrect order, often errors around vowel sounds. The vowels, just in case anybody doesn't know, are the letters A, E, I, O and U. So quite often you will see sort of like errors in the use of them in terms of like hearing them. Also, so those are kind of like the indicators, but then there are also sort of symptoms, things that like sort of like side effects, if you like. So, for example, I'm dyslexic. I'm always misplacing my keys. So it's kind of misplacing those things because your working memory is overloaded and you're kind of always thinking, we've got a joke in my house. I'm a house full of dyslexics. We always forget the thing we need most. And that's happened this morning because my son's forgotten the money that he needed for his driving lesson. So I got an emergency text. But I think it's kind of memory and remembering things. So not necessarily, and again, this can be confusing. You know, parents will bring a child to me for assessment and they'll say, but they've got such a good memory. But we're not necessarily talking about visual memory or long-term memory. We're talking about short-term working memory. That's where the deficit is.
So how you're ordering things, maybe. How, you know, that I'm leaving the house, I need my keys, my coat, my bag, that sort of thing.
And it's interesting because that does overlap with ADHD to, mm-hmm. to a point. And I think the two quite often do co-occur. But also I think that sometimes those symptoms can be just as a result of being dyslexic as well.
Yeah.
So if you had a child, those are some of the things you could look for. I mean, potentially your child would be at school, so we would hope that school would be noticing some of these things as well.
Yeah.
If you have got concerns as a parent, speak to the class teacher or the school special educational needs coordinator. All schools have dyslexic screens that they can carry out that can tell you whether a child is at risk of it. No school, as far as I'm aware, can actually diagnose unless they have got a specialist dyslexic teacher in them. So the only people that can diagnose dyslexia are specialist dyslexia assessors like myself or educational psychologists. They can diagnose too.
Right. So the starting point is going to be the school. Have a chat with the teacher and raise your concerns and say the things you've noticed. I know with my daughters, it took a little while to get that process going. And in fact, we came to you for their assessments.
I think the other thing to say is that because quite often with dyslexia, so dyslexia is a specific learning difficulty as opposed to a general learning difficulty. So this means we've got like massive areas of strength that we can use to compensate for our areas of weakness. So quite often it doesn't flag up at school because we're very good at keeping it hidden because we develop strategies and complicated approaches that enable us to kind of overcome it to a point. So it's not necessarily always very obvious. And I think quite often dyslexics attain kind of roughly just in average. So they're sort of almost doing enough to get by. So they don't necessarily kind of like flag up.
Absolutely.
So it can be quite difficult to pick up. Quite often I get like a little influx of assessments around year six SATs time because when you're in a timed situation, you can't use any of those compensatory strategies.
Right.
And, you know, just before, quite often year 10, I've just had a little influx of assessments now because year 10s are sitting their mocks. Mm. And suddenly there's like this huge mismatch between what they're doing in class and how they're performing in exams. So again, that's another sign something
obviously,
else you can
and
look
a
for.
Really worrying time if you're coming up to exams and you're struggling with that.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to talk more about that. We need to have a little bit more music now. But hold that thought, everybody, because that's really interesting. What if you've got to adulthood like yourself and then think, do you know what, maybe?
I know that's a really hard question to answer, but I've just been... So I think it is, because the trouble is, by the time you're an adult, you're going to have developed strategies that for sure are going to be compensating.
They've got you through.
So I think, again, you would be looking for... It's that whole, how many times do you have to read something? Mm-hmm. So it might be that you can read it, but that you're having to read things lots of times.
So let it really sink in.
Yeah. Also kind of misreading information or misunderstanding information. Mm-hmm. Like I can tell you now, like legal letters, you know, any proper paperwork piles up massively in my house because I avoid doing it because it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
I think... You know, we were also just talking about kind of how we hear and mishearing hearing things. So that's, again, that comes back to the sort of phonological deficit of mishearing particular kind of vowels or the ends of words. So kind of mishearing, finding it difficult to follow instructions, misplacing stuff a lot.
Yeah.
And I think as an adult, if you're undiagnosed, I think there is... you can become overwhelmed very easily if you have to do a lot of writing tasks or a lot of reading tasks. So quite often adults will come to me in a workplace where they've started off doing quite a practical job.
Yeah.
But because dyslexics are really clever and they're very, you know, innovative and are actually really natural leaders, they've progressed to management roles and suddenly they're having to do all of this paperwork or read all of this information. And that's where they kind of become unstuck.
So I suppose the message is, don't be afraid to go and ask for an assessment.
No.
And to find out, because then there may be strategies, there may be tools you can add to how you do things.
Yeah.
I
think
help.
The other thing to say is there's something to be said as an adult for having really low confidence and self-esteem.
Mm.
You know, for a long time before I got my diagnosis, even though I'd kind of done okay with what I was doing, I always doubted myself and I never quite felt like I was going to understand something correctly and asked loads of questions. That's another sign, somebody that asks loads of questions.
Yeah. And I can remember you saying to me, actually, that you thought you were just the person who had to read everything five times.
Yeah.
That, you know, you weren't clever enough enough. And if you read it five times, you did as well as everyone else. Yeah. But that's what you had to do.
I thought that was normal. Yeah. I really did think that was normal.
Because
turns out it isn't.
It was your normal, though, to that point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much for